What is up, everybody? We have got a great new episode of the Geek Easy coming at you here today. Lots of great nerdy discussion all about San Diego Comic-Con and that little movie that just came out. You know the one, Guardians of the Galaxy? Yeah, a lot of great discussion happening here today. But before we get into all of that, I do have to take a moment to once again plug our sponsor, Nerd Rage Toys. And you know what? I have no problem plugging these guys, because trust me, if you guys are toy collectors, this is a website you need to be checking out. Nerd Rage Toys has such a fantastic selection of action figures and vehicles from all sorts of different toy lines. It's not just new stuff that Nerd Rage Toys carries, they've got the vintage stuff too, so they've definitely got something for everybody out there. If you're looking at some of the new stuff, looking forward to some of the new things that maybe were just announced at San Diego Comic-Con, then you need to stay tuned to the pre-order section at Nerd Rage Toys. Right now, they've got stuff available for pre-orders such as some of the new Star Wars Black Series figures, the 6-inch Wave 5 that contains Chewbacca, or even the new Deluxe Wave that has the Biker Scout with the speeder bike and even Jabba the Hutt. Those are all available for pre-order right now. But hey, if it's not new stuff that you're after, you can also get some cool vintage toys. Like I said, they've got an amazing selection of all kinds of stuff, from Ghostbusters to G.I. Joe to Transformers to Masters of the Universe to Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, all the way to the really obscure stuff like Barnyard Commandos and Computer Warriors. Great selection of toys there. Some things that you don't even really find at a lot of places pop up very often over at Nerd Rage Toys. And hey, we're talking about Guardians of the Galaxy today. Nerd Rage Toys has got some of those new Marvel figures in stock. So, you want to get a Star-Lord or a Rocket Raccoon or a Drax the Destroyer in your collection? NerdRageToys.com is the place to do it. Make sure you head on over there and check them out.
Greetings, fellow nerds and geeks. Why don't you pull yourself up a chair, grab yourself a beverage, and prepare to enjoy a geek-tastic conversation. Welcome to the Geek Easy.
Welcome back to the Geek Easy. It's the place we like to come to talk about all those nerdy things like toys and comic books and movies and just have a good time doing it.
Hi, Internet.
What's going on, John?
Not a whole lot.
Yeah.
Long time no see. Long time. You and the Internet.
I know, right? And I feel so bad because the last time we got together, we're like, we're doing this.
Yeah, we promise.
We're back. We're going to be on a regular schedule. And we put out two episodes, and now everybody's like, where'd you guys go?
They were really good episodes, though. They were stellar work.
I agree. Yeah. They were fantastic.
Yeah.
They left people wanting more, yep. So... obviously.
Well, they're about to hear our best episode of the year.
I hope so.
Because we've got the most interesting thing to talk about.
What's the most interesting thing?
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh my God, how good was Guardians of the Galaxy?
We'll find out after the commercial.
That's right. We're going to talk about Guardians of the Galaxy probably ad nauseum in this episode. But before we get to that, we wanted to talk about some of the other hot news items that have been coming out, because we just passed the biggest event in pop culture.
Yeah, of the year.
Of the whole year, yep. Which is the San Diego Comic-Con.
Which is always fun, because one of us goes to Comic-Con,
yeah.
And the other one actually hears the news from Comic-Con.
Exactly.
And then we get together and trade stories.
That's exactly, yes. I always have to tell people that, too, because everybody, when I come home from Comic-Con, people are always like, oh my gosh, you got to go to Comic-Con, that's amazing, did you see this, and did you meet this person, and did you take pictures of this? And I'm just like, no,
yep.
I didn't.
Yep.
There was no way, yep. I could have.
I love it, because everybody always assumes, like, oh, you saw that cool Superman footage. Well, why would he have seen that?
Right,
you know?
Exactly.
Yeah, there's no way he could have seen that. He had a billion things to do. He didn't have 8 hours to spend in line.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. Longer than that. Gosh, people were standing in line for Hall H, because Hall H is where they do all the big stuff.
Yeah.
All the big panels, the big movie panels, the big TV panels happen in Hall H. And if you want to see that stuff, you literally have to spend hours upon hours in a line to try to get in there, like when seats free up so you can get in there. And then once you get into Hall H, you pretty much probably want to just camp out there all day, because if you get in, you want to stay there.
That's
because,
one of the questions I was going to ask. Yeah, is that how it works? If you get you're just there for every panel that comes through?
Now, I've never tried it, so I don't know for certain, but I'm pretty sure that is, because people stand in line for like 12 hours just to try to get into Hall H.
Yeah, that's people, I mean, that if I were to go on a personal visit just for fun, that's exactly what I would do. That's all the stuff I want
to
see. Cuz
then
when
you'd
get
to
there.
See everything. Yeah. Now I know they did some sort of like bracelet thing this year, which was their first time doing it. I don't know how all it worked, but I know some people who stood in line for it, and they said that they waited for 12 hours to get in there, but they were super happy that they got to see all the Batman footage, and you know, so I mean, if that's what you go there to do, then I'm sure it's totally worth it.
Yeah, for sure.
I just can't, because I have way too much.
Yeah, you're actually there working.
Yeah,
that's the other thing people don't always realize.
Right,
about,
right. And everything that I'm there doing is all toy related. So I spend the entire time. I have appointments laid out, and I bounce from appointment to appointment, and I always have people saying, you know, oh, we're running behind. Can you come back at this time? So it's crazy for me. Like, I'm just... Those days go by so fast that I'm left standing there at the end of the day like, what happened?
Yeah.
Where was I even at Comic-Con, because this was crazy.
And what day it actually starts on Thursday?
It starts on a Thursday, but they do preview night on Wednesday night.
Oh, really? Okay, so I thought the preview night was Thursday.
Preview night is Wednesday, and it's only open to members of the press, professionals, and people who were able to buy the full four-day tickets.
Okay.
So if you have a four-day pass, you can go to preview night. So preview night's like... the most calm of the whole event, which isn't saying a whole lot because it's still crazy.
Yeah.
But you can actually like walk around on preview
nights. And they don't do any big stuff. They
no
just have
big
everything
stuff.
Set up.
Everything
right?
is just set up. So you can walk around. But that's when a lot of people who are able to go to preview night, a lot of people try to get all their purchasing out of the way if they can.
Yeah.
Like, because even me, like, I don't do a lot of work on preview night, because most of those people don't want to do appointments and stuff that night, because it's the first night of the convention and they're still trying to get stuff set,
up,
you know, so I kind of go in there and I get the lay of the land on preview night, try to see where everything is, where I know I need to be, map it out. And if I can like buy any of the things that I want to buy that night, I try to get it out of the way so that I don't have to worry about it the whole rest of the time. Cause I don't have time to stand in lines for exclusives.
You know, some of the vendors and stuff, I assume. Do you know, just out of curiosity, like how early they can get in to set that stuff? I mean, do they set it up like over the weekend, or do they have to get it all done like Tuesday?
I think they get in there probably as early as Monday, and they start setting stuff up, and they'll set them up, because I was seeing people.
I mean, it's a big area.
Oh, it's insane. Yeah. Like, it's amazing walking into this place and just seeing how massive it is, and the displays that these companies bring are just out of control. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't go anywhere else and see the stuff that you see at Comic-Con. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's like,
I'd love to just go, just to go sometime. And
except
I wouldn't look around that much. I'd just be in line at Hall H.
Exactly. And like, it's definitely one of those things. Like, people are always like, they're so excited, and they always tell me how jealous they are that I go. And it's funny because like, I'm at this point, like I've been there, gosh, I think 6 times now. I think I've been to 6.
Man, has it been that many?
I think I've been to 6 Comic-Cons in a row. And I'm at this point now where I'm just like, Comic-Con.
Oh, you still love it.
And it's really fun going there, but it's like, it's so much work and it drains me. And like, when it's all over, like, I seriously need like a week of recovery.
Yeah.
Because I'm so wiped out. And everybody's just like, I'm so jealous. And I'm like, you go. I don't. If you want to do my stuff, go for it.
Yeah, you go do all this stuff, and I'll just lay here and rest and yell at you.
But every geek should experience Comic-Con at least once in their life. It's pretty cool. And it's amazing, too, because I've never seen Comic-Con before it got to the state it's at now, because it wasn't always like this.
No, no.
And there's a lot of people that I talk to.
Man, this is fairly, I mean, within the last decade, probably.
Yeah. Like, I think the year that I started going was the year that it really started blowing up the way it is. Because a lot of people tell me, you know, that who have been setting up at shows forever, they're just like, it's crazy to see how much this place has changed from what it used to be.
Yeah.
Like, you used to be able to walk around freely without bumping into people. You never had to worry about things selling out.
Yeah.
I mean, you never had to worry about getting tickets to the thing. And it's just within this last, like you said, probably 10 years, it's just this.
Because geek culture has exploded so much. Because that used to be, I mean, it was a big convention for like-minded people to go, but they were a fringe section of society. Well,
it used to be a comic book convention.
Yeah, and it's that's not that all anymore at all, from what I understand.
It's pop culture convention. Yeah, that's exactly what they should just call it. I mean, there's barely any comics there anymore.
And isn't it, and again, correct me if I'm wrong, but there used to be, I think, at least 3, maybe 4 or 5 pretty big ones, and now there's pretty much just San Diego and the shells of what used to be some of these other
ones.
Like, I think New York still got a decent
New York
one,
and
but I know Chicago used to have a big one, and it's garbage now.
Yeah, well, Chicago, Wizard World Chicago used to be huge.
Yeah.
When we were going, like, 10 years ago,
it
was probably, like, the second biggest convention of the year, because usually, like, when there was, like, and I this is what I used to kind of equate that, but when there was big toy exclusives, they would always be a San Diego exclusive and a Wizard World Chicago exclusive.
Yep.
And they don't do that anymore.
Yeah, no, they
at
don't
all.
Do anything. So, somebody sent me an itinerary for some of the stuff that they're doing at Wizard World this year, and it's mostly just like $100 photo ops.
Yeah, that's all Wizard World
is. That's all it is.
I stopped going to Wizard World Chicago because, like, they hardly have even any cool vendors anymore.
Yeah.
That show is nothing but third-tier celebrities and pro wrestlers signing autographs.
Yep, and there was a bunch of both.
That's all it is.
You know, but the most expensive single one I could find was David Boreanaz. So.
Really?
So you go, Dave. You get your cash, except I hear he hates talking, like, about angels, so I'm not sure who's going to that.
C2E2 has been pretty awesome, though. That's like Chicago convention that just started a couple years ago, and it's run by the same people that run New York Comic-Con. And it's been good.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
and the New York one's still pretty
good. New York Comic-Con has actually gotten pretty huge itself, too. So.
And is the C2E2 a lot of... Is that a lot of toys, or is that just all pop culture too, or is that...
You know, it's actually a lot more comics
than a lot of stuff, okay.
And I think that's what a lot of people like about that one.
Yeah.
Like, Marvel is usually out there. I think Marvel and DC usually go to C2E2, so that's a big deal to have both the major comic publishers
and
there.
And actually talk about their comics, not
exactly,
just their movies.
Exactly, yeah. So they actually have a pretty big comic influence there. And then some of the toy companies come out to that one, but it's a good size convention. It's nowhere near like a San Diego.
No, I'm sure,
Comic-Con.
Yeah.
But I think New York Comic Con is like probably the second biggest.
Yeah, and I'm
now.
Hearing more and more, but you never used to hear about that one hardly at
never
all.
Used
like
to.
You said, it used to be San Diego and Chicago.
Yeah. So
and
now
San Diego was much smaller and Chicago was much bigger, so they weren't quite equals, I wouldn't say, because everybody always still wanted to go to San Diego, but there was at least... Because I remember going and seeing a big Dark Knight panel at the one in Chicago.
Yeah, that was the last year that convention meant anything.
Yep.
Because ever since then, it's just been nothing. Like, but yeah, that we saw that Dark Knight panel because the actors were there and everything.
Yeah,
we saw
everybody.
Christian Bale, we saw
Gary Oldman
and Two-Face.
Everybody went nuts for Gary Oldman.
Oh man, it was crazy. And that was awesome too, because we got to, like, he teased the Two-Face thing.
Yep.
That was before we knew that Two-Face was in the movie for sure.
Yeah, exactly.
And they played that little teaser trailer that hadn't been shown anywhere yet.
Yep.
Yeah, that was exciting.
Yeah, it was awesome.
We all got those t-shirts.
Oh yeah, I still have that.
I still
t-shirt.
Have mine too. It's got the black light responsive, like haha graffiti.
Yeah, it's just a big Batman, it's a big Dark Knight logo, and then when you go in a black light or glow in the dark or whatever it is, just got ha ha ha, ha everywhere. Yeah.
That was really cool.
Yep.
They don't do anything like that in Chicago anymore.
Nope.
It's nuts.
Was Heath Ledger there, or was that
he was already gone?
Was he already gone by
then?
Yeah, okay.
he had already passed.
Because it was a while before the movie came out that they had that panel. Because it was like the summer before.
We waited in a really long line for that
too,
remember?
We did. It wasn't 12 hours, but
long. Yeah. But that was fun. But that was,
because Scotty found Virgil.
That's right.
That's right.
And we hung out with Virgil for a while.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, my goodness. Virgil. He's always at these shows, dude. He's even makes it to Comic
know.
San Diego. He's
always
there.
Read some funny stuff, just people running into him randomly online.
Wrestling superstar.
Yeah. I read a big story about him. Like, somebody ran into him in an airport and tried to talk to him, and then he ended up just, like, hanging out with those guys for, like, 2 days, just kept following them around because they were going to the same place. Like, ended up sharing a hotel room with him
and everything.
Yeah, it's nuts.
Oh, that guy. Whew. That's all he's got going on these
days. Well, this podcast got weird.
Yeah, well, that's all right. That's all right. Talking about conventions, I like it. It's fun.
It's a cool culture. And again, I don't have nearly the experience you do, and I've never been to the big one, but like the little tidbits I've had, it can be frustrating because the stuff you want to do is so tedious to do. But it's really cool just kind of being around all that stuff, and you find so much neat stuff.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I'll tell you what, though. It has gotten really hard to shop at San Diego Comic-Con. I don't do a lot of it there because I usually don't get a chance to even really look at merchandise until around the last day, but I try to set aside some time because I just want to enjoy the convention a little bit if I can. But it's gotten to a point where, like, the vendors there charge so much money for everything just because of where they're at. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of the stuff you see at these booths are cool, but I know I can find it other places for cheaper, so I can't do it.
Yeah.
Vintage toy shopping, for sure, is, like, impossible at San Diego Comic-Con.
That's probably where they go for all their, like, I bet they make half their year's profit in that one show.
They have to, right? I mean, because it costs so much money to be there anyway, I think. So they have to charge all that money just to kind of make money.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's hard to make money at a show like that, honestly, if you're a smaller vendor.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So,
how do you go about getting all your exclusives?
So I don't really try to get a lot of them anymore. It's easier with, like, Mattel, because Mattel does a pre-order system now.
Okay.
So with them, I know that I can get the stuff that I want because I can get online beforehand. I can pre-order everything.
Yeah.
And then when you get there, they're set up, like, over in the hotel next door. And you just go over there, you show them your receipt, they give you the stuff.
Oh, that's cool.
Boom. Yeah. Done. I wish everybody did that.
Yeah, no kidding.
Hasbro, anybody that has ever been to Comic-Con knows that Hasbro is the single hardest place to get your exclusives. They make it so impossible because they got this weird thing where, like, you have to go to one area and you get a ticket or a bracelet or whatever they're doing. And that tells you what time that you can actually go to their real booth to stand in line to try to get the toys. So you have to go and stand in this line that lines up really early in the morning before the convention even opens to hopefully get one of these tickets / bracelets that tells you when you can go stand in the real line to try to get your toys.
Yeah.
And then when you do finally go to the booth at the time that you're allowed to go there, most of the time you still can't even get in the line because it's so long that security's just not letting anybody else in. They're capping the line.
No,
Snoke's capped. You can't come in. And so you literally just have to get lucky and get yourself in that line at some point.
Oh, man.
It's hours and hours and hours of waiting.
And that's what, when I asked the question, I didn't mean, like, you specifically, because I know you don't have time to wait for everything.
Yeah.
Just kind of like in general, if you go for exclusives, how do you get them all? Because I know there's such long waits.
That's the tough one. Hasbro is tough.
Do they usually have pretty good stuff?
They usually, well, because they've got the Star Wars, the Transformers, the Marvel.
But do they make good
exclusives? My Little Pony. And they usually do. Like, this year, they always make huge exclusives, too. They're always gigantic. Like, they had the big Jabba the Hutt for Star Wars this year. Mm-hmm. They had this huge Dinobot set for Transformers, where it was the new movie Dinobots, but they were all done in the vintage toy colors.
Oh,
so they were gray and metallic gold, and they came in this huge box. Then the box folded
out.
How
much was that?
Oh my God, way too much. Like, I think it was a couple $100.
Ugh.
And, like, because the box folded out into the old G1 Transformers, like, Autobot headquarters from the cartoon.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Wow, nuts.
So they had that, and then, like, they had a huge Marvel exclusive that had, like, a giant Infinity Gauntlet that you could wear, and it came with, like, Thanos and a bunch of other little figures.
Is that the one Josh Brolin was wearing?
yeah, it was.
That's awesome.
That's what they were selling at the Hasbro booth. So they've always got, you know, crazy stuff like that. They've always got the My Little Pony exclusive. They've been doing gem dolls exclusively at their booth the last couple years. So they've always got, like, the big stuff that people are after, and that's why it's so hard to get into their
line. Now, if you do get a bracelet, is it a bracelet for a specific item, or just to get in line to buy
The line to buy whatever you want, but you have to hope that whatever you're after doesn't sell out by the time you finally get up
there. And you got to show up with a grand.
And then you also walk around with these gigantic boxes.
Yep.
It's like you got to... Oh, that's the worst. I see people walking around this busy convention.
You got to hire somebody to come with you and take all
your stuff to the car. Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't know how people do it. They walk around with these giant Transformers boxes. Like, in this crowded area. It's insane. I don't know.
I don't know. If you've got the time and money to stand there and get in line for it, you might as well just go on eBay.
Oh, man. Yeah. And a lot of people do that. And it's stupid, though, how expensive some of that stuff gets on the aftermarket.
Yeah.
You know? Like,
cause that's true.
A lot of people can't get out to the convention, and they really want those exclusives. So they're willing to pay whatever they can pay to get it. So it gets expensive.
Which, I guess, on that line, if you do bring a grand and stand in line long enough, you can pay for your whole... Your whole trip.
Yeah, exactly.
Just on eBay.
Yeah, no kidding. If you want to go and scalp some toys. it's pretty crazy. And, like, one of the good things that they do, though, is they do stamp your badge after you buy stuff and mark what you paid for, because there's limits for everything. That way you can't jump back in line and buy extras of everything.
That's good.
And another cool thing this year is a lot of these booths weren't allowing people that had vendor badges into the lines. So they were preventing scalping there at the convention. Because one of the big problems every year is that the guys who have toy booths, vendor booths set up, get in these toy lines before the convention doors even open to the public. And they just buy up a ton of crap. And then they go mark it up and sell it for outrageous prices.
Yep.
So I was seeing a lot of these places actively refusing to let people that had the certain colored badges into their lines this year. And I thought that was great.
Yeah, that's very cool.
I thought that was fantastic.
Yeah. At the very least, make them get in line with everybody else.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. So them and Funko. Funko is insane. That place has gotten crazy, too. They're the ones that do, like, the they do the pop vinyls. They do, like, I got these little guys sitting right here.
Yeah.
They do stuff like that, and they've got all these different licenses. But they also started doing, like, those reaction figures this year, which are, like, those vintage Kenner-looking toys.
Yeah.
They're insane, dude. They have just gotten so massively popular at this show. Like, I remember the first year I kind of discovered Funko, I was able to walk right up to their booth, and I was like, oh, these look kind of cool. I'll buy some of these for Christina, because they had, like, these cool Disney figures, and I just bought them, and she ended up loving them. And that's how she got into collecting that line.
Yeah.
So when she started coming with me, I was like, cool, we'll go over to Funko, we'll buy you all the exclusives, and we went over there, and now it's, like, this massively popular place that you can't get into the booth. And I'm like, well, sorry, I got you hooked on something that's impossible to buy now. Like, so, but it's crazy. I mean, just
the whole atmosphere. And then, like you said, it's always funny because I always wait that whole weekend. I never want to bother you while you're out there too much.
Oh, it's
They get to talk to you as soon as you get back. Like, how was it? And you're always like, oh, I don't know. You tell me. Because you were on the internet where you could actually hear some of this stuff.
Yeah.
Like, did they say anything cool?
Yeah. Like, the internet, if you're on the internet and you're not at the show, you've got the best seats. Trust me.
Yeah.
You could keep up with everything that's happening. I don't get on the internet while I'm there. And it's not like they just, like, make announcements over the PA system where they're like, oh my God, this trailer just dropped for Batman vs. Superman. Everybody should know about it. You know what I mean? So I can't keep up with that stuff. And, like, bringing Scotty back up again. Like, he'll text me and ask me, like, hey, let me know when they announce such and such about such and such. And I'm always like, I bet you'll find out before me.
Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and ignore that. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's pretty crazy because being at the show, you're probably the most oblivious to all the news.
Yeah. And you know what shocked me this year to get into the kind of the news coming out of it? I was hovering around my computer as much as I could because all of the stuff that's going on with Marvel and all the stuff that's going on with DC, and you know they have those big panels coming, and everybody had been talking about how, you know, DC had all these dates in mind and this really aggressive superhero schedule, and you'd probably hear more about it at Comic-Con. And the same with Marvel. Marvel's got all these dates lined up, and they haven't really made any big announcements for what anything is because they're concentrating on Avengers, but you're sure some stuff's going to come out of Comic-Con.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there waiting, and don't get me wrong, I would have loved to have been at any of those panels and seen the footage that they showed, but it doesn't really sound like they actually talked about anything really new. Like, DC released a bunch of official dates today.
Yeah.
You know, like, not at Comic-Con at all. Like, a week and a half later, or however long it's been, like, today. And they still haven't even said what any of it is. They're just like, yes, we officially do have a ton of movies planned. But we don't know. We're not going to tell you what. Or, more likely, they don't know what. But, you know, and Marvel's announced a couple of things. But the only thing Marvel's really announced is that one of the dates they had set was for Guardians 2. And even that, I don't think they announced at Comic-Con. I think they announced it right before Guardians came out.
Yeah, I think we knew that already beforehand.
Yeah.
So
it's like, it doesn't sound like there was any actual, like, huge news that I really caught.
Yeah.
There's been bigger stuff coming out afterwards, and even that's not, like ridiculous. Now, the footage that they showed sounded really cool, because I guess they did show just a little bit of Batman and Superman.
Yeah, that's what I
heard. And that would have been super neat to see, I'm sure. And I think from the description I read, it was pretty much just Batman chilling by the bat symbol. I think it's, like, tarped up, and he takes the tarp off or whatever, and then when he shines the light up, he looks over, and Superman's kind of floating in the air, and it's probably raining or whatever. I'm sure it's very dramatic. It sounded awesome. But at the same time, you're like, well, that's, it's not news.
Yeah,
you guys are teasing 11 characters for this movie.
Right.
And all you go is, hey, we can confirm it does, in fact, definitely have Batman and Superman.
Confirmed.
You know? Yay.
Confirmed.
And I guess the Avengers footage sounded pretty odd. Well, they at least with that they kept releasing all these images all throughout the day.
Yeah.
Like little character posters for everybody. You could even kind of see Vision in the background.
Really?
Yeah.
I hadn't even heard that yet.
Put them all, if you go out and look on the internet, if you put them all together, which they did, it is one big cohesive picture of all of the Avengers plus Scarlet Witch plus Quicksilver, and again, Vision's kind of in the background, like hovering or whatever.
Ooh.
And they're all just getting attacked by 1,000 Ultrons.
Ah!
Yeah, so it's pretty awesome. And then they did something with the footage where they show the team in ruins and everybody looks like they've been wiped out and the shield's all broken. They had that on display there.
Yeah, Captain America's shield, like, broken. Yeah.
And so, like, some ominous stuff, some stuff that sounds pretty cool. But again, all it is at this point is more rumor and such. There weren't any really big, like, announcements, you know?
Yeah.
Is that where they announced Josh Brolin as Thanos?
We knew that already, too, didn't we?
Did we know it before the convention? I thought we maybe knew that at the convention. I'm not sure. Either way, he came out with the Infinity Gauntlet, and that was pretty cool.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that either.
Yeah, because he was at the Avengers panel. I think it was the Avengers panel.
Okay.
It was either the Avengers panel or maybe it was the Guardians one. But he came out to the crowd, and he had the gauntlet
that,
on.
That Hasbro
yeah,
one?
Yeah, the Hasbro
okay.
one.
That's cool.
He kind of held it up, like fist pumped it and stuff like
that's
that.
That's pretty
so.
Neat. Yeah. That's exciting. Well, that's cool. Yeah, I wish I could have kept up with a lot of that more.
Oh,
I remember
that is where DC announced or released the Wonder Woman photo.
That's right. That was the biggest news,
yeah.
And I actually did catch wind of that while I was there because that
was
that really was actually some big buzz at the convention.
And that was
Everybody was like, "Oh, Wonder Woman!"
I emailed a bunch of people and included you on it because I'm like, I'm not going to bother Dan, but I'll throw him in on this in case he feels like looking. Because I think you liked it a lot more than I did.
Yeah, like I don't hate it at all. That's for sure. And
I don't know that I hate it, but I don't like it either.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm happy that. Well, actually, we saw it here a little bit ago, right? Because I'm happy that it doesn't have the pants. That's one thing that I'm happy about, that she does not wear the long pants. It's got more of kind of like a gladiator look to
it. Yeah, it's a Wonder Woman-ish structure, and you pointed out the kind of crest on the breastplate there.
Yeah.
I honestly didn't even notice that was akin to her symbol, so that made me a little bit happier. But my problem was, well, first of all, I was a little thrown off by the sword, but I tried to not hold that against it, because I'm not used to a Wonder Woman with a sword, but apparently that is a thing.
Yeah.
So, let them have that. But the whole thing, other than being basically the right, like, body style, like, it covers the right parts of the body like her normal suit does, but it just feels so, like you said, like, gladiatorial to me. And if that's what you're going for, you could make an argument that makes sense. I just am not a big fan of the look. And the point I made when somebody asked me if I had seen it, so I went out and searched it up real quick and I looked at it, if they hadn't told me I was going to look for a Wonder Woman picture, I would have assumed that was just a still shot from that Hercules movie that came out that weekend. Like, seriously, I would have. And why in the world is she in a volcano?
I don't know what's going
Mordor,
on there.
Or wherever she is.
She's in Mordor.
Like, I don't get that either.
My biggest issue with it is that it's just too dark and gritty.
Yeah, it's very bland.
And we've talked about this so many times on this podcast before, but that's one of the things that I love about Marvel is they're not afraid to give us the bright, vibrant, colorful characters.
Yep.
And DC, for some reason, is scared to death of colors.
Yep.
And Wonder Woman just looks too dark and gritty here.
Yeah,
like, they just made her too dark.
Yeah.
The
just
uniform,
very plain.
If they just added some gold and some red and some blue
mm-hmm.
to this outfit, I would love it. I'd be perfectly fine with
it. And honestly, I probably would too, because again, it's got the right, general style, except the way, and it's part of it's the way they colored it. It just looks too armory and too whatever else. If they change some of the color schemes about it. And again, I don't hate it. I just don't like it much either.
Like,
if I see it in action and it catches my eye, I might feel totally different about it. It's just that one picture I'm going, meh.
I'm curious to see what it's going to look like in the actual film, because it looks like there is some red hues in there, but it's just so dark. I can't tell if she's colored or not, you know? Like, I want it to be more colorful than it is, so I don't know. I guess we'll see. Superman looks the same to me. Did they change his costume at all?
I guess not that I can tell.
It looks the same, which I'm fine with. I don't feel like their costumes have to change.
I don't see any reason to change Superman's costume. That was one of the parts I liked about the movie.
Yeah, I thought, other than it was...
Again, too dark.
A little dark. That was my only
dark,
complaint.
But
otherwise, I like
it. Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah.
Cool. I read something today that I don't think is accurate, but it's one of those things where you just kind of go, oh, did I miss some news somewhere? Because I was reading an article about the movie in general, and it's talking about, I guess they released, or they didn't release, some people have caught glimpses on sets of some certain things they're doing, and I guess there was some big deal with some water set, or like water tank or whatever, so everybody's like, well, that must be Aquaman's scene. Yeah. And so they've all but confirmed to themselves that Aquaman is in it, which we've all been sure he was for a while.
Gosh, yeah, like...
Well, they talked about Jason Momoa playing him forever ago, and that's who he's got to be. And maybe he's not. You never know, they throw you curveballs sometimes, but I just can't wait till DC's like, big announcement, Jason Momoa's Aquaman, and the internet goes, yep.
We knew.
Yeah, we've known that for months. But they were also talking about how they're doing this and that with some of the characters, and they're like, you know, and we're going to, you know, they're doing new things that we haven't seen on film before because it looks like there's going to be some protesting against Superman for all the destruction, which, cool, there should be.
That's what I want to see.
Yeah, and, yeah. They're saying that Aquaman's probably pretty peeved at him because that world engine was over the ocean.
Oh.
No, so I'm like, all right, cool, that also.
Yeah.
And they were like, and some of the different stuff we're getting with Batman, because apparently he's been, like, fighting crime for 30 years already. Uh-oh. And he's older and chiseled and already has a dead Robin under his belt. And I'm like, whoa, wait, what?
Whoa, no.
First of all, how old do you think Ben Affleck is?
Yeah.
Because I don't think he's been out there crime fighting for... I mean, Batman didn't start crime fighting when he was 16 or 18 or whatever. Like, he did some training and everything. And Affleck's not pushing 60.
Yeah.
You know? And second of all, no, too much. Like, that I was already mad that he's not a pretty new Batman because of the big deal they made with Man of Steel about how Superman was the first cape.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, they made a big deal about how, like, he's the one who's going to inspire them all, and that's how it's going to go.
Yeah.
And then immediately they're like, well, but what if Batman was already there? You know, it's like, and apparently he's been around for 30 years.
No, I don't like that part
at
all.
That's
I like
stupid.
That other stuff, though, because that, like, as much as we complained about Man of Steel, if... there's consequence for all that stuff we saw
it'll
in that first movie.
Lot.
It will definitely
help.
It'll help. I want to see that.
Yep.
So, yeah, if he's got to deal with, and like we've talked about before too, I would love to see Lex show up and use that as his whole campaign.
Yeah.
As we've got to stop this space invader named Superman from destroying our planet. Let's get him. Like, I would love to see something like that.
For sure.
That'd be great. But, what, 30 years of Batman
and again,
already?
It was,
I don't know.
You know, I couldn't even point you to the article I read about it, and I don't know that the article had any inside information. They made it sound like it was a matter of fact, like this is what everyone's talking about. And I'm like, I haven't seen anything like that at all.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
So probably that's nonsense. However,
maybe they just took it too seriously when people said that the new costume looked like Dark Knight Returns.
Yeah.
So they were just like, he's Dark Knight Returns.
And the internet has been doing that since they made the announcement, because they made the announcement last year using lines from Dark Knight Returns. It was like, oh, cool, they're finally adapting that. I'm like, no, that doesn't make any sense at all. Because that's an older Superman also.
Yes.
You know,
who is run by the government, right?
Yeah,
like
pretty
the
much.
Government owns Superman.
Yeah,
that.
And this, you know, and Henry Cavill's brand new, so no, none of that works at all.
I feel
so
like people are taking that.
Trying to project things.
Yeah, they're taking that part too literally. I think that just relates to the design of his costume and nothing else.
Exactly.
That's the way.
And they're going to incorporate some of that stuff because it is a popular team-up story and they're very unimaginative for whatever reason at some of these movies, it seems. So I can imagine that they will put a few of those things in there in what they consider a fan service. But again, if they do too much of that stuff, it's going to be even worse.
Right,
than it could be. So,
yeah, definitely. Well, the other big thing that just came out today, which is really kind of funny to us, but we're going to talk about it, is that they bumped the release date up of this movie.
Yes, they did.
Yeah, because it was originally set to play on May 6, 2016, which was the same date as Captain America 3.
Well, it was supposed to come out in 2015 with everything else that was huge.
Right.
And they pushed it back to May, which Marvel already had an unannounced movie the date that they pushed that back.
Yeah.
So they pushed it back going, well, Marvel's unannounced movie can we'll go ahead and move because they'll be scared.
Yeah.
And that was right before, or shortly before, Captain America 2 opened and made all the money.
Yeah.
That April. And then Marvel was like, well, guess what? Number 3 is our May movie. So since then, they've just been playing this game of high-stakes chicken.
Yeah, who's going to move
with that
first?
Because they've both been going, look, one of us is going to move, but we're not moving.
Yeah.
Both studios have been very adamant about that. And lo and behold, finally, DC's like, you know what? And I think it was probably at Guardians came out and made all the money. And DC's like, you know what? We'll just take March.
We'll just move. Yeah.
We've had some success in March. will take March.
So they bumped it up. So it's coming out earlier now, yeah. March 25th, 2016. But yeah, that is absolutely what that reeks of.
Yep.
They buckled.
Yep.
And they moved.
Yep.
Like, it would have been.
They went, man, those guys just made $1 billion with the dumbest property imaginable.
That's right.
Just to prove that they could. We can't make a dime off of Superman. They made all the money off a raccoon with a machine gun.
Hey, you remember. Okay, so that all I could think of is that Robot Chicken skit with Emperor Palpatine talking to Darth Vader on the phone.
Yeah.
Except it's like the CEO of Warner Brothers going, "Who the heck are the Guardians of the Galaxy? They did what? They made how much?" Oh my gosh! Yeah, that's so funny to me. I just that's hilarious.
I don't know.
Like I really. Really, I'm going to keep saying this. I want the DC movies to be good.
We really
do. I want Superman versus Batman or whatever that movie's called now to be awesome. Yep.
We have no reason to want these movies to be bad. Yeah. Now, transversely, we have a very solid reasoning for wanting, like, say, Fantastic Four to fail miserably.
Yeah.
Or really, honestly, I'm to the point now, after Guardians, I love the I love all 5 Spider-Man movies to one level or another that have come out. I don't know that I love 3.
Yeah.
But 3 has a special place in my heart as being a ridiculous movie that is okay.
Yeah, for sure.
I love the Bryan Singer X-Men's. I love all those things. I'm barely rooting for any of them anymore. Like, I just really want Sony and Fox to just both start losing their hides on every movie they make.
That
they just stop doing it and the rights go back to Marvel. Even if we go a decade without a Spider-Man movie, if the next one we see is a Marvel-produced one, it'll be so much better than anything else we've had. And we've had good stuff.
You know, and that's the thing, too. Like, I grew up being a huge fan of Spider-Man and the X-Men.
Yep.
And what are the two properties that Marvel Studios can't make movies of right now? My two childhood favorites.
Yep.
And that hurts.
Yep.
That really hurts.
Well, that's.
And I'm the same way. Like, I enjoyed the Raimi Spider-Mans quite a bit. I like the most recent Amazing Spider-Man fine. I've been a fan of several of the Fox X-Men movies.
Yeah.
But just thinking of what Marvel Studios could do with these properties now just makes me go, all right, I'm done.
Yeah, exactly.
With Fox and Sony stuff.
Exactly.
Let's go ahead and just see what Marvel does.
Yep. And that's where it comes from. It's like, you know, I've liked these movies, and so in theory you guys are doing fine, except you're not doing nearly as good as other guys are.
No.
So why don't you stop?
And we talked about a little bit right after we saw Guardians 2, and this is the other thing that makes me keep feeling like this. The silly little things that Marvel doesn't have the rights to use in their movies because of it being a part of a bundle that Fox and or Sony got somewhere.
Yep.
Is just frustrating as hell.
Yep.
Like, one of the big things that Marvel can't use right now, one of the big alien races that Marvel can't use, are the Skrulls.
Mm-hmm.
How much does that hurt?
Mm-hmm.
Like, with Guardians, we just got really introduced to the Kree Empire.
Yeah.
Well, okay, the fact that the Skrulls are tied up with the Fantastic Four stuff with Fox...
Yeah.
Really hurts because the Skrulls have such a huge place in the Marvel Universe, especially if we're starting to get the Kree involved now and they're supposed to have that big feud between those two alien races.
Well, and you were the one even pointing out to me because I knew the Badoon were a big deal with Guardians. That's like the whole thing that they're after. And now they had to replace those pretty much with the Kree because they needed something else.
They had to replace the Badoon because that is also tied up with Fantastic Four rights.
Yep. And the Skrulls probably should have been the race at the end of the Avengers, but they couldn't use them. So they had to input the Chitauri in there
and
that stuff. And for the casual viewer, and even, like, I would consider myself more than the casual viewer, but not, like, the full-on comic book guy anymore. But even to me, it was fine. Like, I got it. I didn't even know until it was pointed out that I was missing anything. It was kind of one of those things where I knew, I'm surprised they're not using the Skrulls, but whatever.
Yeah.
And then you find out, they would have.
Yeah.
They just can't because of some weird...
Yeah.
You know,
because I remember they even released in the Avengers movie action figure line, like the smaller scale ones that were in stores. They were even putting out Skrulls in the toy line.
Really?
Because I remember when people before that movie came out, people were wondering if that was going to be the Skrulls, and then it wasn't. It was the Chitauri.
Yeah. Well, which, that's always such a weird thing how that licensing works to me. And again, I know a decent amount about business, but not enough to really. because they can do it in toys, but they can't do it in movies, and obviously they can do whatever they want in comics. It reminds me of when they made the live-action Tick show.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah, they couldn't
And instead of American-made and Deflator Mouse, they had, like, Agent Liberty or whatever she was
called. Agent, yeah,
yeah. And Batmanuel.
Yeah, Batmanuel.
And that seems so funny to me, because it's like, all right, the same creators, the same characters, the same studio, because it was a Fox cartoon and a Fox live-action show, yet somehow someone else has the rights to two of these characters, you know? Like, how does stuff like that happen?
It's crazy, yeah. I guess just all the hands that get involved in that stuff sometimes, you know?
And it's not having the foresight sometimes, and not having the ability, like, because, let's be fair, if Marvel hadn't sold off Spider-Man and the X-Men when they did, those movies never would have been made, wouldn't be where we were.
That's true.
Because comic book movies got big because those movies were successful.
Right, right. You know? Like, X-Men came out and was, like, kind of the first real comic book movie to be successful in a long time.
And they were working on Spider-Man.
And they paved the way,
And exactly. And those two, they hit with that 1-2 punch in 2000 and 2002, and boom, off it went, you know?
Yeah.
And so if they hadn't, I mean, and Marvel didn't have the means to do that themselves.
Right.
There was no way. They had to get it out. So the only thing they possibly could have done was somehow improved the buyback clause to where it would have been at least possible, but even that, I mean, Sony's Sony and Marvel at the time was just some dinky little comic studio. Marvel wasn't going to get their way,
right?
You know,
exactly.
Sony had the money to do what they needed to do, and they did it, so kudos to them for that. Now I'm just sitting there going, next time, when Spider-Man 3 comes out, I'm going to have to sit there and go, do I really want to see it before it's free? Because I don't want it to make any money.
I know, right?
It's probably going to be great, I respect the guys working on it, but I don't want it to make any money.
It's such a weird position to be in, because, I'm at a point now where I want Marvel Studios to do it all. And
what's going to be cool is when that new Fantastic Four movie comes out, and I'm happy to not go see it, because I don't want it to make any money, because it's going to be terrible.
It sounds so bad. And hopefully it is bad enough where Fox just goes, all right, fine, take the Fantastic Four back. We don't need these guys.
Because that's actually feasible.
Yeah.
Because they're not huge money makers for the studio. They made tons of money on those first two, but not like, like Guardians or Spider-Man money or anything like that.
They're the same. Like, the Fantastic Four are so important to the Marvel universe.
And how awesome would a Marvel-made Fantastic Four movie be?
Yeah. And plus,
because that's right in their wheelhouse of goofy fun.
It is. And they're another group that is right there in New York.
Yep.
So they could get involved with Avengers nonsense.
Yep.
And they can have crossovers with these alien races, the
Skrulls,
like the Skrulls and the Kree, and, you know, the Silver Surfer can find, you know, all that stuff. Galactus, we got all this cosmic stuff going on now.
Yeah.
Silver Surfer and Galactus will fit right in with all that nonsense, you know? Yep. I mean, gosh.
And flat out, and I don't even hope I'm wrong because of all the reasons we just went up, but, like, you can consider me a hater for being negative towards DC's products all you want. maybe I'm right, maybe I'm not. This movie's gonna be stupid. Beyond stupid.
Which one?
The new Fantastic Four. It looks awful. They've already got a sequel date planned out for it.
They're dumb.
And they're not doing anything. And I don't understand. The formula is so easy. Every Marvel movie is essentially the same. I mean, it's totally different, but it's very, at its very core,
it is.
It's very much the same.
Yeah.
And it's working like gangbusters, and every other studio is going, well, maybe if we dig our heads farther into the sand, something good will just happen. They're just bombarding this stuff with silliness, and nothing coming out of this movie makes any sense. You got Kate Mara, or whatever her name is, the chick playing, that might not be your name at all. I think it is. Hey, regardless, the chick playing Invisible Woman is coming out going, well, I was going to read a bunch of comics as research, and then the director told me, no, it's not going to be anything like that,
right?
So don't even do that. Like, what?
Yeah. This
is
going
on.
I saw that. He said that it's not going to have anything to do with the comic books, so don't bother reading them.
Like,
it's like, oh, good.
Brilliant,
great.
Guys. And that's what I'm saying. I know they've got a sequel date planned.
There's no way.
There's a very good chance this movie's going to make negative dollars. And once it does, I think there's a halfway decent chance the Fox is just going to go, you know what, we can't do it. We clearly have no idea what we're doing. So.
Oh, my God.
Now, again, it'll be a decade before Marvel gets it back, because it'll be forever for them to decide not to do it, and then it'll be forever for them to just wait and then not do it last minute. Because what was it? The last Fantastic Four movie came out in 07?
That sounds about right.
So that's 7 years. I don't know what the window is, but apparently it's at least 8 years because the new one's not coming out till then.
Yeah.
And so that means once they finally give up, we got to wait another decade, which is absurd.
I don't know why some of these studios don't just like license them or work with Marvel Studios. You know what I mean? Like they could still make some money.
Yeah.
Or, if they just let Marvel Studios...
Sell
like,
them back with a percentage clause.
Yeah.
Here, you guys go make a ton of money with this, then give us some
of it. I feel like they're just being dicks about it sometimes. I really do. Like, oh, you guys have enough money. We're not going to let you have this back. You know what
and
I mean?
Like, in fairness, the guys who are making these decisions, especially at the non-Marvel... Like, the guys who are doing it at the Marvel Studios are the comic book guys. They do love this stuff. The guys who are making that decision at Fox are just money guys.
Yep.
They're not, there's no pride there, there's no vindictiveness, they're just money guys,
and they think
other people are doing it, let's use ours and do it, and let's not actually do any research or put any effort towards it, let's just assume it'll happen.
What do you mean our Fantastic Four movie didn't make any money? That movie with that raccoon made all kinds of money. What?
Ours needs it, does the Fantastic Four have a raccoon? It does now.
Give us a talking animal of some sort. Yeah. Replace that fire guy. Bring in that Herbie robot. People love him, right?
You sound like Vince McMahon's in charge of Fox.
Yeah. Well, I'm a genius. That's our caricature of Vince McMahon. I love that.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, hey, let's go ahead and take a quick commercial break, and then when we come back, we'll jump into our discussion about Guardians of the Galaxy.
Woohoo!
Yeah.
Are you tired of buying from unreliable sellers on those big online auction sites? How about scouring the internet for that one figure you need, only to find it for 3 times the retail price? If you are, then stop by NerdRageToys.com. We specialize in new and vintage toys and collectibles. We have hundreds of items from popular lines like G.I. Joe, Star Wars, Transformers, Thundercats, He-Man, Ghostbusters, and more. Our items are priced to sell and ready to ship. You can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, or sign up for our weekly newsletter to stay current on all of our site news and updates. Nerd Rage Toys. Stuff for nerds.
All right. Let's talk about the awesome that was Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, spoilers, guys. Spoilers.
Spoiler alert. Yep, we're going to throw that out here right now. We're going to talk about a lot of things that happened in this movie. So if you haven't seen it yet, you should probably stop the podcast and come back after you've seen the movie. Because we don't want to spoil any of the good stuff for you, but we definitely want to talk about all the good stuff.
Also, if you haven't seen it yet, just stop the podcast and just go see it.
Just go see it.
Man, you are doing yourself a disservice.
So, first of all, have you ever read any Guardians of the Galaxy books or read any of these characters' books before seeing this movie?
I read it back in the 90s.
Yeah.
When it was a totally different team.
Yep.
Which was funny because when they announced this bizarre movie, they were going to be, I don't even remember when they made the announcements, but when they made the announcement that the August movie for 2014 was going to be Guardians of the Galaxy, I remember going, what a weird thing to say, but awesome. I used to really like that book. And then a while later, they came out with the roster, and I'm like, I don't know who any of those are. Because I didn't even know those characters existed. I was back on the major victory, I think it was. Yondu
was in the original.
Did you ever read any of the old Guardians?
Never did. Okay. I am completely unfamiliar with Guardians of the Galaxy except for this movie.
Okay, because I don't remember for sure, but I was positive that Yondu was not just Space Merle.
Space Merle.
But that's totally what he was in the movie. I remember him being a more sophisticated character. But I may be remembering it wrong.
You know, I've seen a lot of people, who were fans of the old Guardians of the Galaxy, like, excited that Yondu was in the movie. They thought that was really cool nod to the original Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
So it seems like people are happy with
him.
Well,
and again, if he's totally different, I don't care. He was awesome.
And like, I think
so that's
I
not
think,
a complaint. That was just,
I think that arrow is like an actual thing. Like, you know,
I believe so. Yeah.
It was like a Yondu weapon, but I think he used like a bow and arrow.
I really
wish
I could remember it more specifically because I did like that book and it was a weird fringe book even then. The main guy, the leader, and I think his name was Major Victory, I want to say, or like Lance something, or maybe both. but I remember he had Captain America's shield, like a vintage one, like somehow it had been found because it was so far in the future.
Yeah.
Like he had come across Captain America's shield and he kept that and used it as a nod to Heroes of the Past and stuff. And I remember thinking that was super cool.
Oh, wow.
And just the book in general was really neat. Charlie 27... I can't think of a lot of the characters' names, but it was cool, you know. So again, when they announced it, I'm like, well, I'm probably one of the six people in the world excited about this. And then they announced the roster, and I went, what is that?
Yeah.
And then I checked the internet, and I'm like, oh, they've been doing these books again, but with totally different guys.
I was
going to
say,
cool.
I think everything that I've read, that's like a more recent team, which is what they're kind of doing with a lot of stuff in the Marvel Universe anyway, in the movies. Like, they've been taking a lot of stuff from, like, Ultimate universes and the more recent
kind of
books
mixing
and
it in.
Kind of mixing it in, so it does make sense.
Which works fine.
The only characters I knew who they were before this movie was, like, I knew Rocket Raccoon and I knew Drax the Destroyer, but I really only knew them by name and what they, like, I knew who they were, like, I could point them out and I knew who they were. I don't know a lot about the characters.
And I did know Drax also. I didn't know Rocket, but I did know Drax. And you know, it's funny, like, looking at the histories of these guys, a lot of these guys have been around for decades.
Yeah.
They were just never this team before.
I guess the Rocket Raccoon's been around since the 60s.
Yeah.
And, like, a lot of these characters have been around for, like, Star-Lord's been around since the 60s or something like that.
60s or 70s.
So these guys
there,
these are all old characters. Yeah. They just didn't come together as Guardians of the Galaxy until more recent books. But, so that's cool. It's not like these are rich history characters.
Yep.
They're just very obscure when compared to Captain America, Spider-Man, stuff like that.
Which kind of made it cool going through the whole process of anticipating this movie, because immediately I was excited because it was weird, and that made it cool.
Yeah.
You know, but there's this hesitation, like, well, this will be a neat entry.
Yeah.
You know, like, this isn't going to be Iron Man, but it'll be cool. And through the whole casting process, because they kind of got some obscure people doing stuff also. I mean, I think the most recent ones they really announced, which was a long time ago still, but the latest ones they announced were Rocket and Groot. You know, Vin Diesel and
Bradley Cooper.
And even that was like, you know, well, those are actually big stars, but they're just playing these weird cartoon characters, essentially.
Yeah.
But then they had the rest of the team, you know, they had the green space assassin chick, and they're like, well, Zoe Saldana. I'm like, all right, that makes perfect sense.
You know?
And Drax the Destroyer is like Dave Bautista. I'm like, well, I'm a big wrestling fan. I'm a big Bautista fan.
Yeah.
So that's awesome. That doesn't make any sense at all. You know? And then even Chris Pratt, you're like, all right. I mean, you knew they weren't going to go get somebody super famous, but it was like, well, I didn't know that guy would be on anybody's radar for something like this.
Yeah.
But he's always seemed funny.
Yeah.
So we'll give it a whirl. But like the announcement, and then the announcement of the roster, and then the announcement of the cast, like, piece by piece, all of it was just like, you just had this weird air of, I don't get it, but I'm not going to argue with any of it. It all seems cool, it just seems
weird.
Very weird.
Yeah,
you know? Yeah.
Yeah, that's the way I always felt,
too. And then that first
too.
Trailer hit.
Uh-huh, that's exactly. Because I remember hearing about, you know, well, one of the next Marvel movies is going to be Guardians of the Galaxy. I was always just like, well, I don't know what that is, so it's hard to get excited about it. I love everything that Marvel Studios is doing right now, but I don't know what that is, so whatever, we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, that first trailer hit, and it was so different than everything else we've seen so far. Like, it was so, you know, right away you had the 70s music, you know, the Ooga Chaga music is in the trailer, and just everything about it, and it's so, like, goofy and funny, and it's got friggin', what's his name? Gosh, what's the guy's name from Talladega Nights?
John C. Reilly.
John C. Reilly's in the trailer.
They first announced him, they're like, he's playing Nova. I'm like, no, he's not.
Yeah,
that doesn't make any sense.
No,
and then they're like, no, he's a Nova. He's one of the Nova
Corps
guy. Okay,
he's
all
just,
right.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
So like, yeah, everything about that trailer is just so goofy
and
quirky.
And the guy, I can't remember. I never remember his name, but the guy with him in the trailer who was also in the movie, the guy who's standing behind him in the trailer, going, "What a bunch of a-holes."
Yeah,
you know, that's Darth Maul.
Oh, that's...
Like, that's his voice.
That's
awesome. And that's the guy from, what was that, Vince Vaughn and Veronica Mars movie?
The
Vacation one? He's in that, too.
Oh, wow.
He's like the Guitar Hero guy.
Yeah, yeah.
That Vince Vaughn goes up against. Like, that guy's awesome, too. That guy's hilarious.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, so I just remember I watched that trailer for the first time, and I was just like, now I'm excited.
Yep.
This looks ridiculous.
Yep.
And I can't wait to see how it plays out.
Yep.
So... And then with every passing trailer, I just started getting more and more excited about it. And boy, like, Marvel knew, like, as crazy and obscure as this whole thing was, like, they knew what they had on their hands this.
Yeah.
Because the merchandising and everything was just out of control.
And they
geared
it up perfectly. And it was awesome because you could feel, even when they weren't really saying anything because they're holding back for certain times before they release certain information or pictures or whatever, you could feel Marvel's excitement.
Yeah.
Like anytime you could read Kevin Feige talking about this and you could just feel it through the words printed on your screen, like, this dude's juiced.
Yeah.
You know, and I wonder why. And now we know why, because he's seen parts of it and he knows how fun this movie is. And James Gunn, that was my favorite part about any of the announcements that came out, because they went, all right, we're doing Guardians of the Galaxy. It's this weird little space movie. Okay, cool. Well, James Gunn's going to do it. All right, I'm all in.
Yeah.
Because I've been on the Gunn bandwagon since, like, 2000. Like, before, years before anyone had a clue who he was.
Right.
I traveled through four states to try to find a DVD copy of the specials.
Yeah, the specials.
It sounded awesome and is awesome.
Yeah.
And if you guys haven't seen that, which you haven't, because no one has seen the specials, go and find a family video or somewhere who's got it. Check it out on the internet somewhere. That movie is awesome. And it's a no-budget, not even a low-budget, it's a no-budget superhero flick with, like, Rob Lowe and Jamie Kennedy and Thomas Hayden Church. A bunch of recognizable names, and they're this like, third or fourth tier or seventh tier, I think, the box even says, group of superheroes.
Yeah.
You never even really see them power up, because they never really fight anything. It's just about, like, the internal workings of a superhero group. It is hilarious.
Yeah,
but ever
since
that movie, and then the guy goes on, he writes the old Zack Snyder, well, the newest Dawn of the Dead, the Zack Snyder remake in, like, 02 or 04, whatever that was. He wrote both those Scooby-Doo movies, which I loved.
Yeah.
He did Slither back in, like, 06,
Slither,
I think,
was great.
Which I love Slither. Like, everything this guy does is just golden. But it's always weird, like real fringe stuff.
Yeah.
And so now all of a sudden Marvel's got this real weird fringe movie, and they're like, and again, it's just a matter of Marvel going and getting the guy.
Yeah.
They figure out who's best for the job, and they get him as quickly as they can. And as soon as they said James Gunn, I went, all right, we're going to be fine. This movie, again, I'm sure it's not going to compare with the awesomeness of a lot of their movies, but this is going to be a really cool movie.
Yeah.
You know, and then lo and behold, it's right up there with all of them.
Man, this movie is just such an amazing thing, like, through and through, as far as just movies go, like comic book movies and what can be done with them. Because Marvel already has been, like, not afraid to do comic book things in their movies, which is one of the things that we've been praising them for so long. You know, we get the bright, colorful costumes, we get these very wacky comic booky kind of themes in the movies. They're not trying to ground them in real life. With the Avengers, we kind of got our first glimpse into the whole cosmic universe of Marvel, which is the first time we've seen anything like this in a superhero movie. So Guardians just takes all that and they just dive in head first and they're like, boom, here we go. Here's this whole other universe within the Marvel world that's outside of Earth. Yep. All this other stuff is going on. This is something that none of these comic book movies have ever dared attempt before.
No, nowhere near.
And Marvel's doing it, and they're doing it with characters that nobody knows.
Yep.
And they're just jumping right in with making this a huge blockbuster.
Yep. And kids,
it's amazing.
And kids are not out there wearing Superman t-shirts. They're going to be out there wearing Rocket Raccoon
t-shirts. Right? Yeah.
And no one can figure out why. And it's the greatest thing. And that's the nail on the head right there, because Fox, because Sony, because DC, even when they're doing it right, they're taking these superheroes and they're trying to pull them into the real world. And Marvel's going, you know what? Why don't we just make a comic book in live action?
Yeah.
And it's flawlessly just chugging along.
It's
amazing. Making so much money. It made 50% more than the old August record holder for that first weekend.
Oh my gosh.
Born Ultimatum was in the $60 million range back in 07. This made $94
million. Oh, wow.
It's the new August record by a big margin. You know, you jump from 60 to 90. And they were projecting this thing in the 60 to 70 region for a long, long time until, like, the week of. And the week of, they're like, man, this thing, under just the right circumstances, this thing might hit 90. And it blew right past that, too.
Oh, my gosh.
Know? Yeah.
It's so, so cool. So
it's
cool.
It's stellar. And how funny is Dave Bautista?
Oh, my gosh, right?
Where did that come from?
I have no idea, because I didn't know what to expect with him.
I assumed he was the brute force who will never have a line.
Yeah.
I didn't expect him to say 6 words the whole movie.
Right. But holy moly, dude. He was so fantastic. Dude, the whole fact, like the... I just remember, like, this is even one of the points that Christina laughed the hardest. The whole joke about how his race takes everything literally.
Yeah.
They don't understand euphemisms or whatever.
Yeah.
So, like, they...
Do not call me a thesaurus.
Yeah, do not call me a thesaurus. And then Rocket explains, you know, like, they don't understand, you know, stuff like that. It's going to go over his head. Nothing goes over my head. I would catch it. My reflexes are too fast. Like... I lost it.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Absolutely.
And just his delivery of the lines and everything was so brilliant.
He did it well. I mean, it wasn't just well, it was well written, but it was also well delivered.
Yeah.
You know, like he was great. And I shouldn't be that surprised because, again, I've always loved Big Dave.
Yeah.
Like Dave, Batista's always awesome when he's in wrestling, and he's always awesome when he does his crazy interviews because he's such a weird, bitter old dude.
Yeah.
But man, he was top notch in that movie.
One of my favorite, one of the other really funny scenes in that movie too, because Groot is so awesome.
Yeah.
And like, I expected Rocket to be like a fan favorite character in this movie. I did not expect Groot to be as lovable as he was.
Yep.
And I almost think like Groot probably stole that fan favorite away from Rocket, maybe by a thin margin, just because of how like... friggin' lovable the character
absolutely.
Was, you know?
You just want to hug him.
But, man, that whole scene where Rocket is explaining his plan to break out of the prison.
Yeah.
And you just see Groot wander off in the background to go get the thing that's supposed to be the last part of the plan. And, honestly, my favorite part about that scene is watching Drax, because Drax, like, comes walking onto that scene holding his lunch tray.
Yep.
And he just notices Groot, like, reaching up. And the way he's just standing there staring at Groot trying to figure out what the heck he's doing, like, I just die every time.
Yep.
I'm like, this is the funniest scene.
Yeah.
Like,
oh,
all the craziness going on.
Hilarious. And, well, and, you know, Rocket was another one. I didn't know what to expect, and I expected nothing but comic relief.
Yeah.
Which isn't untrue with what we got, but also is, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Because I didn't expect him to speak nearly as much as he did. Like, he was a full-on main character.
Full-on.
I really super expected, especially with the big names they had behind them, both he and Groot to be really side characters to the main.
Yeah,
know?
Yeah.
And they really weren't. Like, now, Groot didn't say a lot, because he only says, "I am Groot."
Yeah.
And he did say it several times, but he still didn't talk a lot more than I expected him to. But Rocket was just flat out one of the main characters. You know, he's involved in every scene, he's talking, he's got his own personality, and it's not just comic relief. Like, he's very integral to the plot.
Yeah.
It's very funny, but everyone in that movie is very funny.
Well,
no one wasn't funny in that movie.
They also, like, really made Rocket a sympathetic character too, because there's that whole like that scene where he was drunk and like he has a meltdown and basically is offended by everybody calling him vermin and a raccoon, and you know, you didn't have to get taken apart and put back together and then taken apart and put back together and like you realize that he's had this really tortured past and like they really kind of make you go whoa.
And you know what the best part about that, and that's just bringing me on a whole kind of side thought, but like all of these, like you got 5 really obscure characters thrown into this basically blender and mixed around and they did not waste half a movie
on origins
telling you who everyone was and where. They worked it flawlessly into the story.
Yeah.
A little bit of extra narrative, a little bit of extra dialogue, and you immediately know who all of these guys are. And once again, just to use an example, and this is a Marvel example, but you know, you go out to Sony and you go, okay, they want to make a new Spider-Man movie 5 years later. They're going and completely redoing the origin again to let you know who this guy is. We already know who this guy is.
Yes.
And this is proof positive that as absurd as it is with a big character like a Spider-Man, a Superman, or any of those things, like we don't need origins every time because we know who these guys are.
Yes.
And to give proof positive to that idea, here's 5 guys you don't know from Adam. And we can still explain to you exactly who they are and yep. everything you need to know without breaking away from our story at all.
Oh, gosh,
they didn't break
yeah.
stride.
Like, okay,
and you
so
got everyone's backstory.
Everybody.
Except like, for Groot's, I guess.
Well, I mean, all we really know about Groot is that he hangs out with Rocket. And yeah. is that? Do we really need to know anything
no,
else other
probably
than
not.
That? Like, he's Rocket's little
yeah, like, I'm sure there's
buddy,
more to know, but there will also be other yeah. movies. But Gamora, Drax, Rocket,
yep.
and, I mean, they actually did give Peter a tiny, tiny sort of origin story.
But he was our main character.
But exactly, he's our main character. And even that was 5 minutes, seriously.
They just, and all they needed to do there was establish that he was from Earth.
Yep. Yep,
they wanted to
yep,
show you
yep,
how where he
yep,
started
yep,
and how he ended
yep.
up in the space
said, they
gave,
territory. They gave him
and
5 minutes.
Yep.
They worked everybody else into the conversation.
Yeah.
And you were fine.
Yep, yep,
you were
yep.
totally fine.
We
just
know
ready
that,
to
yep.
enjoy it.
Gamora's daughter of Thanos, but she was mm-hmm. kidnapped as a kid, trained as a weapon. You know, Drax, his family was killed by Ronan
yep.
As an order from Thanos, so he yep. wants revenge. That's all we needed.
Yeah, that's
and
yeah.
now we know why yep. these guys all have their own purpose and why they all come together for the same cause.
Yep.
They all have their own things that brought them together and made them a team.
Yep.
It was perfect.
Yep.
It was
flawless.
Amazing.
Flawless.
Oh, man, so, so cool.
Man, Marvel's good at movies.
They're so good at movies. I hope it stays this way. Like, I hope they don't, like, at some point just...
They're gonna hit a hitch eventually. They're gonna.
yeah.
I'm if they can make it through Avengers 3 at this pace, which will
yeah.
be rough, because that's years away. If they can, that'll be cool. But the other thing that makes me super excited about this is, like you said, this introduces us to this whole cosmic realm.
Yeah.
Which was another cool part about when they made the announcement, because they did, I'm sure they announced it after Avengers. So,
yeah.
you're like, oh, that's weird. But, what a perfect way to bring Thanos in.
Mm-hmm.
I keep saying Thanos. Thanos. It was
Thanos.
The way they pronounce. I've said it Thanos for 20 years. Now it's Thanos.
You know? Oh, I've always yeah. said Thanos.
But, well, I've said it wrong
I'm
for
sure
20
it's not
years,
that
but,
big of a
yeah,
deal.
No, it's not. But, They tease Thanos at the end of Avengers, and uh-huh. I still, at the time, thought that Thanos was going to be Avengers 2. I didn't realize
yeah.
they were holding it off till 3.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
then they announced Guardians, and I'm going, okay, bizarre. But, you know what?
Now
Thanos will come in, and I was like, this whole movie's set up, I bet. They're going
right.
to introduce these guys, it'll be some weird space stuff, and then Thanos will come in and murder all of them.
Yeah.
And because they're never going to do a sequel to this.
Boy, how wrong.
Yeah, you know, there's no way. So that's what this is, and then after he murders them all, he'll come to Earth, and that'll be Avengers 2. It makes perfect sense. Because it even lined up, like, right before Avengers 2. And then they go on, and it's like, well, Avengers 2, we're doing Ultron. I'm like, oh, that's weird. But still, they gotta introduce all the cosmic stuff. And then again, we get to this week, and they're like, also, there's a Guardian 2, because holy crap, this movie's awesome.
Yeah. You know? I'm excited,
yeah.
dude.
I can't wait.
Oh, man.
And it's not till, what, 2016?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, so that's only two years. That's not bad.
But man, yeah, this movie did do a lot of good establishing of this whole new universe. And it's cool because we've started to see in some of these other little things here and there in other Marvel movies. Like, we got the teaser of Thanos, and we know the Chitauri and all that exist. And if you've been watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on TV, that was where we got our first taste of the Kree.
Yeah.
Because the blue alien that has something to do with the whole Haiti thing with Coulson.
Yeah.
That's a Kree.
Yeah.
And so that was our first introduction to the Kree. Well, the Kree are kind of a big part of Guardians of the Galaxy,
yep.
with Ronan the Accuser being
yep.
the big
yep.
villain. So,
we talked about it. You know, that was the guy from Pushing Daisy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How crazy was he?
I know.
He was awesome.
He was awesome, and he
yeah.
looked cool.
Yeah.
And that's another character.
And again, I mean, we're in spoiler territory
yeah,
anyway,
yeah.
so it doesn't matter. So
yeah.
I was really upset when he got obliterated.
Oh, yeah.
Because
but,
he was awesome.
But it's
a comic book movie.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's a comic book movie, and I feel like a character like that can easily come
yep.
back.
Yep. Because even when they introduced him, he was coming out of this weird, like,
yeah.
pool
yeah.
of ooze or whatever. So
and
I
don't think it's uncommon for Ronan to kind of, like, die and come back. So
okay.
I think if they need to use Ronan again,
yeah.
they can use Ronan again.
And just because, like I said, I thought that, you know, Lee Pace was awesome.
Yeah,
I mean,
he was great.
Because he's such a mild-mannered kind of almost, even when he's starring in the show, he's almost a background.
Yeah.
You know, because
yeah.
he's so just, which works. I mean, that's talent there. That it's great that he does that. But now all of a sudden he's just this maniacal, genocidal maniac. And I thought he was very intimidating.
He was so great.
Yeah.
Great villain. And you just got to love,
yeah.
too, how, like, he was just that typical kind of villain, too, where he started out doing something for Thanos in exchange for something he wanted, but once he realized how powerful that Infinity Stone was, nope, screw you, Thanos.
Well, because all
this
he,
is my power now.
Because all he wanted was Xandar destroyed. And once he realized that, oh, this thing you want is the thing that's going to let you destroy Xandar, well, I've got it now.
I'll just do it myself.
Yeah, I'll
do
it myself, and then I'll come kill you.
Yeah, just, you know, like, like he just straight murdered Thanos' little guy.
Which upset me, but only because I'm a big Wesley fan.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, Wesley. Yeah. Done.
Oh, man. And I was about to get to this point. I sidetracked myself earlier. The cool part, like you brought up, how this really introduces us to that whole cosmic wing.
Yeah.
Well, and what they're talking about now, because they've already announced Doctor Strange.
Oh, I know.
Which I don't think they've dated yet.
That's another really bizarre movie to think about.
And Kevin Feige has already been relating it, going, all right, now see what we did here with all the cosmic stuff. Now Doctor Strange is our gateway to all the mystical stuff.
Uh-huh.
All the supernatural stuff we can do in the Marvel Universe.
This is so crazy.
So we've got our base set up, and it's strong, and now we can just start opening these doors.
Yeah.
You know? And that really makes me... I don't think Doctor Strange will be anywhere near this funny, but it really makes me excited to see what they're trying to do with it.
Yeah.
Because it is going to open up a whole realm.
And I've heard, too, like that, because we've talked about this before, too. One of the cool things about these Marvel movies is the way each of these characters are so different from each other. Each of the movies are like a different genre of a film.
Yes.
Like, Winter Soldier was like the espionage, spy-type movie. Guardians of the Galaxy is a straight-up sci-fi adventure.
Yeah.
Excuse me. I've heard that Doctor Strange is going to almost kind of have like that horror kind of
tone to it. Could be super cool.
Yeah, and it's kind of neat just realizing that all these characters, they exist in the same universe, but they're so different.
Yep.
They fit all these different niches, you know, in film that you can make
and
all
can
these
do,
different types
of
movies.
And that's the other cool thing, too, is like even within the characters themselves, like look at Thor. You did a total fish-out-of-water movie, and then you did this like... I always called Thor 2, it was like a Star Wars meets Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Which are, they're like the same movie, but totally different, you know?
Yeah.
Like, they're from that same, like, they're both this fantasy thing. They're just a totally different spread of fantasy, so it's like it just took two of them and combined it together. Guardians is pretty much, like you said, just this sci-fi Star Wars type
movie,
you know?
Star Wars was Guardians of the
Galaxy.
Super,
and it was awesome.
It felt like Star Wars.
And it
was
awesome. And then, like, you look at Captain America. The one guy in two movies has been a period piece war flick.
Uh-huh.
And 70s espionage thriller, you know, it's the same guy just doing, and so not only can you do that, you know, character to character, you can do them in these different settings and make it great, but like franchise to franchise, you can do every style of movie, and you're right, horror's got to be right around the corner.
Yeah.
Because there's so many of those, you know, quote-unquote scary movies that come out anyway that they shoot for those PG-13 ratings on, so they can get the kids in, you know, the teenagers, so why can't they do that with a Marvel movie? And just do something real spooky.
And if Doctor Strange is our supernatural guy, that would be a good one to do it with.
Exactly.
You know?
It'd be
Might
perfect.
As well.
You know what I always thought would be awesome? And this is kind of sidetracked, but just talk about that. What I always thought was going to be awesome, or what could have been awesome, and I think I thought this when they were looking at the third Nolan Batman film, because the way those were grounded in reality. When they were talking about Riddler, before Christopher Nolan saw that they were talking about Riddler and decided that he didn't want to do Riddler, he wanted to do something that wasn't being talked about on the internet.
Oh,
But that was like the big thing when Dark Knight came out. They're like, well, they'll probably do Riddler next, you know? And I always thought, you know what would be super awesome? If they just basically made Seven. Just one of those real hardcore, like, mystery, like, you know, they don't have to make it grotesque, but they can make the ordeals grotesque.
Mm-hmm.
Just something just super creepy like that, but they made it with Batman. Instead of Brad Pitt.
He is a detective, after all.
Exactly, you know. Yeah. But if they just made, you know, Riddler going around and capturing people and putting them in these weird, like, torture situations, and Batman's investigating it all, how awesome would that movie be?
That could work.
Yeah.
That could work. But instead, we got Bane! Yes!
You know, oftentime contributor, Ryan Needham.
Yeah.
He texted me the other day. He's like, yeah, I was just catching Dark Knight Rises on HBO. Man, this movie is terrible. He's like, the sets are garbage, the acting's garbage, the story doesn't make any sense. He's like, I don't get it at all. I'm like, I know, it gets worse every time you watch it, which is why I stopped at two, I think, two or three.
A lot of people still really like
it, though. I
don't get
it. It's
crazy.
It's bat love, man.
I don't
That's
like,
all it is.
I don't like it either.
It doesn't make any sense.
I like Dark Knight.
Dark Knight's great.
Yeah.
Batman Begins is wonderful.
I love Batman Begins.
Dark Knight Rises is pretty much garbage. And we're off the subject. Yeah, we love Guardians.
Guardians
so much.
Of the Galaxy.
Should we talk about the? I mean, we're spoiling everything anyway.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
The end credits part.
Well, that was fun.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So I guess we haven't even really talked a whole lot about the fact that like the big plot point in this movie was straight up an Infinity Stone.
Yeah.
Like, the Infinity Stones have been showing up in the last couple Marvel movies, or, you know, they started out as kind of a background thing.
Well,
but,
I mean, they've been there since Captain America, but they haven't named them until...
Right, well, I mean, we even saw the
end of Thor.
We saw the gauntlet in Thor,
yeah.
The first Thor.
Yeah, well, that was very much
Easter
just like
egg.
An Easter egg thing,
right.
Though.
So we've known that they're building up the Infinity Stones, and
They named them in the Thor credit teaser, right?
Yes, because the Collector showed up in the Thor 2... after credit scene, which is where they really kind of said straight up, this is what we're doing.
Yeah,
guys.
That's right.
Because
they said you can't have two Infinity Stones in one place. That's
so
right.
they let us know that the Cosmic Cube or the... What do they call in the Cosmic Cube in these movies? I forget.
It's called the Cosmic Cube. Oh, the Tesseract.
The Tesseract,
It's not called the Cosmic Cube at all.
Yeah, no, but that's what it is. Yeah. So that's one Infinity Stone, and that is safe on Asgard.
Yep.
The second one that we saw was the Aether.
Yep.
From Thor 2, and since they didn't want to keep that also on Asgard with the Tesseract, they took it to the Collector and let him put it in his collection.
Where it is now, because his collection exploded.
So, that's where we first got introduced to the Collector, and then he showed back up in Guardians because he wanted to buy this other Infinity Stone that Star-Lord had been carrying around, which we find out right away that all kinds of people are after in this movie. Like, he went and got it, but also Yondu is after it, and I think that's why Star-Lord went after it on his own, right?
Yeah.
Like, he broke away from Yondu to go get it himself. So Yondu's after it, Star-Lord's after it, Gamora wants it because she wants to get it away from Thanos, Ronan wants it to give to Thanos, so, like, everybody's after this one Infinity Stone. And they don't call this one anything specific.
No.
Notice
they
that?
Call it an Infinity
they just
Stone.
Call it an Infinity Stone. So I don't know which one it is or why this one doesn't have
and the other thing that made it interesting is, and they allude to the other ones when they're in that scene with the Collector, and he's telling a little bit of the history of the Infinity Stones, which, again, they just work right into the movie.
Which was cool,
and
too.
They
a great
bring
scene.
Up these images of some of the other ones so you can kind of see them, and so you can relate to the stuff you've seen in the other movies. But even then, like, this one's clearly just a rock that could fit in a glove. The other things is a big cloud and a giant cube. So,
but what I liked about that scene, too, is... He showed them, and you saw the cube, and you saw the ether cloud.
Yeah.
But then there was that scene where they changed into the colorful stones that we know.
Oh, yeah. That's
so,
right.
Like, you saw the stones in the, like, the design or the order that they would be on the gauntlet.
Yeah.
And that was kind of one of those neat little geek moments. Like, ah! there they are! You know, like, holy cow! Like, this really is happening! So, like, they're just about to give it to the Collector because this is Gamora's way of keeping it away from Thanos.
Yeah.
Because the Collector wants to pay them 4 billion credits or whatever for this stone.
Yeah, which Chris Pratt had a great Not Safe for Podcast reaction to.
Yeah.
His delivery was so good.
But we don't know for sure if, like, the Collector was buying that for himself or if he's pooling these together for Thanos. Like, I have this feeling, or at least this theory, that every single person in this movie that was trying to get this stone were all trying to get it for Thanos. Like... It wouldn't surprise me if Thanos had all these different people trying to
even
pick
if they
this,
don't realize
even if they don't realize they're doing it for Thanos. I feel like he's playing some sort of game to acquire these stones.
And we talked about it a little bit before the recording started because you were mentioning having, you know, read that thing that was talking about, you know, poor Thanos, because all he wants is his Infinity Stones and he's totally terrible at getting them.
Yeah.
Because he's just missing left and right.
Yeah.
And I was saying I would not be at all, I don't know if I'm theorizing, but I would not at all be surprised if essentially what they're working towards through whenever they bring him up through Phase 3 is basically locating them all, because I wouldn't be surprised if that's really what Thanos is doing. Thanos is locating them all. And once he knows where all six of them are, he'll just go take them all at
once. He'll just go get them. I'm Thanos. I'll just take things.
Because I mean, if he doesn't know where three of them are and he goes and collects three, it's that much bigger of a deal to keep the other three hidden. But if he can just search out and find each one and he knows where they are and then can just go get them all in one fell swoop, then there's nobody to stop him from taking them.
Exactly. That wouldn't surprise me one bit.
Yeah.
But it does make me wonder now, because you talked about how the Collector's collection exploded.
Yeah.
Because we found out how powerful this current Stone is in this movie, that like just touching
yep.
it
yep.
unleashes yeah, this power.
Reacted to organic
yeah,
matter.
Yeah, so it has this crazy reaction, and his little servant girl just decided she was just done being his servant and was just going to, you know, bite it.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if she knew she would explode. I thought she might have been trying to.
Oh, I get power.
New, yeah,
you
something.
Think? Like
yeah.
she just was tempted yeah. by the power
or
of the stone.
Or she just didn't care anymore and wanted to
so
explode.
So either way, she
either
touched,
way, she exploded.
She touched that stone. She exploded. The collector's collection went boom with it.
Yeah.
So we don't really know where he might have put the ether.
We also don't know what survived and what
exactly,
didn't.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, because the Russian space dog was still there. Cosmo.
Cosmos.
Yeah. Cosmos is still there.
Which I didn't realize is an actual comic character, but he is.
I didn't either. I
That's
thought
amazing.
It was just a joke on Russians sending dogs into space.
Yep.
And then you told me like that was a real thing. I'm like, oh, that's awesome.
That's hilarious. I can't wait to be able to pause at that scene. Find out how many things are in the background of this collection.
Because I know, I mean, we saw Dark Elf, we saw Chitauri.
The Slither Slugs are there, and I saw them on my second viewing.
Oh, did you? I gotta look for that closer.
Yep, so that's...
I gotta look for
and
that
And I told
closer.
You, too, I said, how terrifying is that for the Marvel Universe that the Slither Slugs exist?
Yep. Well, and what I thought was funny, too, is he collects these things from all these races. I thought he was collecting, like, the last of a lot of races. And we have a couple of the last of their races in the Guardians of the Galaxy. And he even said something to Groot. He's like, you must let me pay you now for your body upon your death, of course, or whatever. Which puzzled me a little bit because I'm like, it seems like he should have just wanted him right then and there.
Yeah.
Because he's got all these other things in cages.
Yeah.
That I'm sure don't want to be there.
Yeah.
You know? But they're who also clearly aren't the last of their races. Because
right.
there's plenty of Chitauri and Dark Elves.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
Let me rephrase that. I think the Dark Elves were thought to be a lost race
they
until
were.
Thor 2.
Uh-huh.
So that makes a little bit more sense. But the Chitauri are everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. So, I don't know. I can't wait to see what else. Because I would have read a lot of interviews saying that they snuck all kinds of neat things in there.
Oh, I'm sure.
But, like, we're not going to be able to tell until we can pause that scene and get good screen
caps. And by
far
the neatest thing came after the credits.
Yes, after the credits. Oh, my gosh. What a great scene. And, like, it's funny, too, because I almost expected this to be some sort of big lead-up into the Avengers, and they didn't do that.
No.
They opted to do kind of, like, a humorous scene instead, but I totally love it. Because they just have they show the collector bandaged up and drinking.
Yeah.
Because he's upset.
Drinking
that
a little cocktail.
His collection's been exploded, and Cosmos is there. He's fine. He's just licking his face, like... And then it just pans over, and you see Howard the Duck sitting there, also drinking.
Yep. Why don't you let him lick your face like that?
Yeah.
It's disgusting.
Yeah. What a great little cameo.
Yeah.
Like, that was amazing.
Yep.
Totally unexpected.
Yep.
Like, who would have thought? Howard
and
the Duck.
They got the Howard the Duck rights back from Universal.
Thank goodness.
Yeah. Which I'm sure they've had back for 20 years.
And I've heard, and it's funny, too, because I've heard people say, oh, man, the Howard the Duck movie is going to be crazy. I don't. Think they're gonna do Howard
think,
the Duck?
I don't
movie.
Think that's the plan
I think
anytime soon.
This was the only. I think this was only meant to be a fun little Easter egg.
And they, I mean, they got a lot of dates between now and apparently 2028.
I don't
so
know
who
what
knows,
I do,
but I'm
just
not
like,
planning on that.
Howard the Duck.
Soon. Yep. But man, just how funny was it?
I loved it.
Yeah.
Oh, it was fantastic, and it was really great too. Because I just remember like we cracked up when Howard the Duck came on, and I heard like, people go. I don't know what that is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, yeah.
Who is that?
I made.
That was totally for us.
We took my nephew and my wife to see the movie, and I made them stay through the credits, even though I knew for a fact they would get nothing out of that.
Yeah.
But I got to see it for a third time and go, ah, it's awesome. Look back at them. They're both like.
Christina was the same way.
I don't know what that was.
She goes, who's that? I was like, Howard the Duck. She's like, who's Howard the Duck? I was like. I can't even explain it to you.
Yeah.
It's just, that was for us.
Yep.
That was just there for the geeks.
Exactly. And, you know, I was not expecting a big tease at the end because Phase 1 ended with Captain America. Well, ended with the Avengers, but right before the Avengers was Captain America. And Captain America, I was really expecting the big tease at the end. And it turned out to just be a trailer, which was awesome because we hadn't seen that footage.
Yeah,
but it wasn't like a story thing like ever all like
all
the other ones are.
That's true.
So I didn't think there'd be a trailer this time because I thought we would have heard that there was one coming. But I also didn't think there was going to be like anything to progress the story along.
Winter Soldier probably was our good Avengers tease.
Yep, absolutely.
Because that's the one where we saw Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver and Baron
Zucker.
Yeah, I think that's his... Gosh, what's his name? Baron...
I think that's right.
That dude.
Yeah.
The Baron.
Well, and if you remember, too, Phase 1, the movie before Captain America was Thor, and that's when they did the Loki has the Tesseract tease.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like the one before the Avengers is the one where you get
that's
the
crazy.
Big Avengers
that's
one.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Speaking of Loki, he's still floating around out there somewhere.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
anxious to see what they do with him.
They had a letter, I think I sent it to you. They released, somehow somebody online got a letter that Tom Hiddleston had written to Joss Whedon after reading the first Avengers script.
Uh-huh.
And just gushing over how awesome the character was and how fun it was going to be. And one of the first things he says in there was, "Thank you for writing my Hans Gruber."
Ah!
And I was like, this guy's the greatest.
Yeah,
he knows where it is. And man, is that if that wasn't the superhero equivalent of a Hans Gruber?
Yeah, right.
You know, yeah,
oh,
awesome,
so cool, man. So Guardians of the Galaxy was just so much fun, and
you know, seriously,
so much fun.
Look to pre-Marvel Universe, looking ahead at these movies and going, Iron Man will be fine.
Uh huh.
But nobody really cares about.
Do
Iron
you remember?
Man.
Yeah.
Captain America will be cool. Thor will be stupid.
Do you
the
remember
Avengers
how
will be neat because they're all getting together.
Only mildly excited we were about Iron Man.
Yeah.
We were like, Iron Man, whatever, it's Iron Man.
Like, you know, it's like, it's a superhero movie, cool.
Yeah.
You know.
And then it was just so amazing.
Yep.
Like, I remember watching that movie and going, I think I just watched my favorite superhero movie ever.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
like,
I remember you saying that and me going, no.
Like, I don't,
no.
I never would have expected it to
be
Iron Man, but holy crap, was that amazing.
Exactly.
You know?
And it was. And you sit there, you let it sink in for a little while, and you're like, holy crap, that was.
Yeah.
You know, I still don't know if I liked it particularly more than I liked a couple of the Spider-Mans, but I definitely like the Avengers more than anything.
Oh, the Avengers.
And even,
so...
I mean, you remember when Thor was coming out, and you're going, I'm going to go see this.
But it's Thor.
Yeah, but it's Thor. You know, Thor and Loki, woo, you know, and then you sit there and watch it and you're like, man, why did they make a good Thor movie? And why is Loki the most entertaining character in this universe?
Like, why is he the best comic villain we have ever seen on screen?
He's Loki.
Oh,
it doesn't make any sense.
It's amazing. And
walking out of Guardians, I've heard several people, and I've read it on the internet a couple of times, people going, oh, this is Marvel's best movie to date, you know, or the slightly more realistic, but maybe not any more true, you know, oh, this is definitely the best other than the Avengers, but it's right up there with the Avengers.
Uh-huh.
You know, I walked out of that movie going, wow, I am flabbergasted. And then I heard people start saying that, and I'm like, that sounds like a silly notion to me. But you're on such a high when you walk out.
You are.
Out.
You really are.
You know, it's like, man, that was better than the Avengers. And you're like, yeah, no, that's dumb. That doesn't make any sense at all. Let's wait 6 minutes and turn around and look at this. But I can easily compare this to walking out of Iron Man the first time, just going, wow.
Yeah.
How did they do that?
Like, I've seen it twice now, and I've loved it probably even more after the second viewing. Like, it's that good. But, like, I think about it, and I still think Winter Soldier's my favorite this year.
Yeah.
As far as movies go, comic book movies, total, but... Definitely comic book movies. I think like Winter Soldier a little bit more than Guardians, but it is close.
Yeah, it's very
Guardians
close.
Guardians is so good.
And Winter Soldier's still kind of high. Like, I mean, it's only a few months old, so it's still riding that high a little bit too. But
uh-huh.
I am convinced that Winter Soldier's the second best of the Marvel movies. I am not fully convinced that Guardians is the third, but I'm also not convinced that it's not.
Yeah.
You know, like, man,
it's
was
tough
it.
To rank them. It's actually getting really hard to rank them.
And it did
like,
so... It really is. It really is. Like, the only thing I know for sure is that Iron Man 2 is probably the least good, and Iron Man 2 is still phenomenal.
Yeah.
You know, Iron Man 2 is still better than almost any other superhero movie out there.
All we know for sure is Marvel Studios is awesome.
Yeah.
All of their movies are great.
Yeah.
Like, I just, I wish they could all be like this.
Yep.
Everything.
Yep.
Wish DC
could
do this.
They could be.
Come on, DC.
They could be.
Let's do it.
Let's hope they've got
I
their,
really
yeah.
hope so.
I love Zack Snyder.
Yeah.
I still think he's made one of the best comic book movies ever made.
Watchmen.
Yeah.
I love Watchmen.
It just didn't have Superman in it.
Look, see, that was their Guardians of the Galaxy right there.
Yeah.
Watchmen.
Well, because you know what happened is Zack Snyder made 300 and it made a ton of money, and so they gave him Watchmen and gave him free reign.
Yeah.
And he did a faithful Watchmen adaptation, and I'm pretty positive. I mean, you can never know for sure. Like I said, like I always say, I have my theories. They're probably more grounded in reality than a lot of people's theories.
Yeah.
But I don't know any of these people or any of this stuff. But I'm pretty sure they went, okay, you've done a couple of good things for us. Now give us a Superman. But here's a bunch of handcuffs. And for whatever reason, he wouldn't accept that on Watchmen, and he seems to be taking them on Superman. That's my theory. I'm not blaming him for most of the problems I had. I'm blaming either Nolan, who honestly probably didn't do anything except for stick his name on it, or I'm blaming the brass going, well, we got to build, you know, we got to build a universe, so we got to do this, this, and that, and we got to make it grounded because Batman was grounded, and we got to do this and that, and him succumbing to that for some reason. Because I don't think the Zack Snyder that made Watchmen and that made, like, Dawn of the Dead and some of those other, like, really solid films is the same guy who made that nonsensical destruction fest.
Yeah.
Or whatever. That was that. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it was all him. Maybe he loves every bit of it. I don't know. But I have faith in the man because he's made a bunch of movies that I really enjoyed.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
And so I'm assuming he got... And I think I've told this story even on this podcast before, probably. One of the favorite things I've ever heard out of Hollywood was when he was making Watchmen. And he kept sending storyboards and other ideas off to Warner Brothers, and Warner Brothers kept sending them back, going, hey, yeah, we really like what you're doing here. And they'd have these weird little, like, sticky notes about changing this and changing that, but we really like what you're doing. And he kept getting those back, and finally he called him, and he's like, hey, you know, like, I'm digging the feedback, and we're, you know, we seem to be more or less on the same page here, except I keep getting these weird notes about toning down this and changing that, and I don't know what you guys are looking for out of this. And they just went, well, we like what you're doing, but some of that stuff we're just not sure how you're going to get a PG-13 doing. And then Zack Snyder going, oh, we're not. That's not the movie we're making at all.
This is definitely an R-rated film, guys.
So,
Watchmen must be
so
R-rated.
He basically just flat out told him, like, that's not what's happening. We're going to do this right. And they went, oh, okay, and let him go, and the movie was awesome.
Yep. Definitely doesn't get the credit it deserves.
No, it really doesn't.
It's so good. Yeah. I love that movie.
Yep.
But yeah, Guardians was fantastic.
Yeah,
and
go
it's
see
got
it, guys.
Me.
Seriously.
Definitely go see it if you haven't already, even though we just spoiled
it. And if you have, you shouldn't have listened this far if you haven't seen it. And if you have seen it, go see it again.
Oh, gosh. Hey, here's something we didn't even really talk about. How cool was it seeing the full reveal of Thanos for the first time?
Oh, for sure.
He looked great.
And his voice was great, too.
His voice was great. Yeah. Oh, I'm so excited.
Yeah, he looked fantastic.
Like, we're really setting up.
He was
I think it's cool that we're setting up, like, this major villain. Like,
for so many movies.
Like, we're going to really be building this guy up.
Yep.
Introducing him to audiences.
And there will be another Guardians before Avengers. So that one has to have more setup, I would think.
Yeah.
So,
well, I wonder, like, the Guardians could even get involved with Avengers 3, right?
Oh, they
like,
could.
If
they
there's
could.
Some big thing with Thanos in that movie, which leads to the whole Infinity Gauntlet thing happening, and the Guardians have to show up in Avengers 3. All that kind of stuff could happen.
I hope...
Avengers 3 might just explode.
Well, this is another
universe.
Thing we talked about, like, because they won't, and there's no reason for them to come out and say what they're doing with Avengers 3. Everybody's speculating it's got to be Thanos, but I was speculating that for Avengers 2, and they threw something else in there. I'm really, really hoping that they are actually shooting for Avengers 3 and not trying to stretch it out too much farther, because I think, like I said, I assume they were doing it for the second one. Now they stretched out to the third one, but they've done it brilliantly. And it makes sense the way they're kind of pulling all this stuff out.
Right.
But there's only so far you can take that. And there's also, I remember they were, Kevin Feige had mentioned something about, because they asked him about any kind of Secret Wars or any kind of giant crossover thing they could ever do. And he was basically like, well, like, we're not trying to set a Guinness record for having the most superheroes in a movie. We don't want to make it too cumbersome.
Right.
So that made me wonder what that meant as far as the idea of the Guardians coming in to an Avengers 3. But at the same time, it doesn't have to be them and the Avengers the entire movie. There could be some sort of mishmash or whatever, you know. Or they could even stretch that into a two-movie event, technically, if they really wanted to. That could be how they make it bigger than some of the other ones.
So crazy.
But I think they would have to, if they were going to do that, it would have to start in Guardians 2.
It would,
because
I think
it would
have
to end in Avengers.
Oh, man.
But I really hope. And we've talked, too. I mean, we're getting close to contracts running out. All these changes are coming in the comic books. I mean, are we going to see the death of Steve Rogers on screen? If we do, is it going to be in the next, you know, wave phase here?
And there's,
could they do it before Avengers 3 even?
Oh, man, yeah.
Could we be seeing Anthony Mackie or Sebastian Stan as Captain America instead?
It could be Bucky, it could be Falcon taking over for all we know.
Yeah, you know.
And
what are they going to do Fallout-wise once that's done?
Exactly. Because,
again, these contracts are going to run out. And I have no personal problem with them just finding new actors. Because it's Hollywood, it's movies, it's comedy. I mean, like I said, I will always say that. Every time a new artist comes on, it might as well be a new actor. Every time a new writer comes in, it might as well be a new actor. I mean, the characters change and morph all the time without their whole story moving around them. So there's no reason to not just throw another guy in one of the suits, you know. However, if instead they're going to give us a female Thor on the big screen and they're going to give us
that'll be nuts.
Falcon or Winter Soldier as Captain America on the big screen, I'm also fine with that. You know,
it'll
at
be
least
crazy.
For a while. So
that'll,
what's
you know
going
what?
To happen?
We've seen Marvel do a lot of risky things, and it work in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Killing off a major character will be a real test to see if they could pull something like that off.
Yep.
So that'll be interesting.
Yeah, because Coulson was big, but A, he didn't even stay dead, and B, he wasn't
killing,
major superhero
killing
big.
Captain America
and
replacing him with Bucky or Falcon will be a real, test to
and
see
again,
if they
especially if they do that before Avengers 3.
Yeah.
You know.
Whew. It's nuts. This is getting
there's
crazy.
So much stuff they
so
could
many
do.
Things to speculate, and like, it's really exciting, though.
Yeah, it is.
It's
and it's
so cool,
and it makes every announcement cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because there's so many different directions that go. Every time you hear how it is going, you go, oh, cool. What does that mean? And then you have to wait, you know, months and months to get it all drawn out, and then boom, you see a movie you love, and you're already anticipating the next two. And Ant-Man, which... You know, there's been a lot of turmoil around Ant-Man, so it makes you a little bit nervous.
Right.
But it's getting moving. It's still supposed to be coming out later next summer, and they're already talking about how it's just a total heist flick.
Yeah.
Which is awesome,
yeah.
because they haven't done a heist flick yet, you know? Guardians was sort of, you know, everybody's after the same thing.
Yeah.
But this is like a break-in... You know, and they also said it's something about like mentor mentee type movie and stuff. But it's another.
See,
it's a different genre they're coming at, and they're just plugging superheroes into it.
That's so cool.
And you're loving it, so
I'm
gonna go see Guardians again.
I do too. But the next one to look forward to now is Avengers, right? That's the next big Marvel movie.
Yep.
Gosh, I can't believe that Avengers 2 is coming up.
Yep. Now it's almost a year away, but
still, it's gonna be very exciting next year for sure.
Yep. So now we gotta wait until. Probably, hopefully, by Christmas, there'll be a trailer on something.
And then, until then, we'll just watch our Blu-ray copies of Winter Soldier when it comes out, and Guardians of the Galaxy, and we'll just enjoy those over and over again, because they're very rewatchable.
Yep,
they're
absolutely.
So good.
Man, absolutely.
Exciting stuff with Marvel. So, man, if you guys listen to this and you haven't seen the movie yet, you got to get out there and see it. You just
absurd,
absolutely
guys.
Have
it's,
to.
And we don't want... On the one hand, I don't want to make your expectations too high. On the other hand, I went in with huge expectations, and they were all met or exceeded.
Yeah, and you know, this movie, I think, is going to open some doors for some other projects.
Yes.
Because Marvel just made a buttload of money off of some crazy characters that were very obscure in a really weird cosmic setting.
Yep.
They just proved that it could work.
Yeah.
And now some of these other properties... that have been stalling for a long time, they have grounds for getting some traction
again.
Hope.
And let's hope that other studios can take a look at the actual model and follow
Absolutely. So that'll be great. That could be awesome. This could be... Guardians could have a very positive ripple effect for us
for a lot
of things.
Yep.
And I think that's another very exciting thing about this movie.
Yeah.
So very
cool. Excitement all around. All right, well, let's quit talking.
Let's
so
quit
go
talking.
See the movie.
Yeah, yep. So the next time we get together, guys, is going to be another movie discussion, and I am not sure at all how that one's going to go yet.
No.
In a couple days, the release of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles will be happening, and we will be getting together as soon as possible afterwards to talk about it, because you guys know how much I've been looking forward to this movie. Only because I just don't know how to feel about this movie.
Yeah.
I want to be really excited. I am starting to feel excited about it. But like we were just talking about earlier, the reviews are starting to come out for this movie now. And I normally avoid reviews for movies. But like this movie here has just had me so intrigued that I can't help myself.
Yeah.
All the reviews are terrible.
Yeah.
They're all bad.
But all the reviews are always terrible for anything Michael Bay touches.
And that's true. That's true. So, I don't know. Maybe I'll enjoy it.
And also, in fairness, this movie may be terrible.
It could be terrible.
I'm just saying you can't use that as your...
I can guarantee it's not going to be Guardians of the Galaxy
good.
No.
Yeah, there's no way. There's no way.
So,
but I'm going to go see it, and I'm pretty much already locked into seeing it twice.
Yeah.
Which means if it's really bad, I'll give it that second chance. And if it's pretty good, then I'll be able to help let that sink in.
We'll see what happens.
Yep. That'll be next time, hopefully within another week or so here.
Yep.
We'll get back up, and then we'll take another 2 months off.
Hopefully not. We'll see what happens, though.
No promises.
No promises. Yeah. No promises.
We'll see you for Guardians 2.
That's so far away.
We're going to skip Avengers 2.
We're just going to skip all the rest of that stuff.
Yeah. Guardians 2. We'll be back for that one. Well, thanks for listening, guys.
Yeah, we really appreciate it. Hey, if you want to touch base with us, we're both on Twitter. You can follow me at PixelDan, and you're... at JLeonard31.
Uh-huh.
So feel free to follow us. You can tweet at us. If you want to use hashtag GeekEasy, that's cool. It'll make it a little easier for us to find your tweets, too. But feel free to chime in with your thoughts on Guardians or any of the other stuff we're talking about. Or if you have specific questions for us, you can pop those on there. And we'll even try to answer those for you on the next podcast. I think that'd be really cool to actually get some questions and stuff to discuss.
Yeah, that'd be anything to say. If you guys want to send us stuff, we'll talk about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, if you got requests... That'll get our motivation going.
Yeah, right.
Motivation's the wrong word. We want to do it.
Yeah, it's not a motivation thing. Yeah. It's a time thing.
Yeah,
we're both fathers, and we have children and wives and jobs.
I got two of those little things.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy.
Weird.
I don't know. I've got one. I don't know how you're doing two.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
I go to work every day. I don't know how my wife's doing too.
Yeah, exactly. Awesome. Well, that's a good place to wrap things up. So until next time, I am Pixel Dan.
Jonathan Leonard.
See you guys next time right here in the Geek Easy.
The Geek Easy Podcast is a production of PixelDan.com. Musical tracks used in the intro and outro are used with full permission of the respective owners or creators. Intro and outro narrations are provided by me, Brian T. Stevenson. Any animated series discussed are copyright their respective owners. PixelDan.com's The Geek Easy Podcast is provided for entertainment purposes only. The views expressed are those solely of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily represent those of PixelDan.com or any other party. Be sure to join us next time for another installment of the Geek Easy Podcast.